Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to have you all here today, Greater Alton Church. My name's Tim, by chance, if you don't know who I am. Got a few things to tell you I want to mention to you. First of all, I just appreciate our teaching team of men that are right now in the pulpit right now at this time. And they've been doing a lot of, you're probably noticing that. Well, is Tim not wanting to preach anymore? Yeah, I don't want to, well, kind of. But we want to build a teaching team. And I'm just so thankful and so grateful for Gary and Alan and Mike to fill in these places. It's given me some time to think and reflect and to work on some things. And so I appreciate that, fellas. And you want men in the pulpit that are spiritually healthy. And sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a break. And so I appreciate that very much. It's senior week at Little Prairie Bible Camp, and some of these guys are going to be leaving here pretty quick. And so I'm happy for you. Have a great week so far. Camp has been amazing. We've had more campers this year than we've had in years, and especially primary week. So far, it's the largest week, which I found fascinating. I thought, that's cool. A lot of future coming up, a lot of kids coming up to be junior high and senior week. So good to see that. Also, the marriage retreat is coming up. I hope you've signed up for it. We're looking at the seasons of marriage, and I hope you'll sign up. You can, the Welcome Center's been split in two, so I think you're signing up over here, as you go out to your right. Talk to somebody there on how you can, be a part of this. We've got, some special speakers coming, this year. And it's going to be really good about the seasons of marriage, whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter. What do? You do something in those times when your marriage falls into these changing seasons. Today we're looking at a new series that I'm wanting to start called Developing a Good Eye. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody ever say, he has a good eye or she has a good eye. What are they talking about? You know, is it something? Well, they have an eye for quality, or they have an eye for talent, or they just have insight that most people, it gets by them, but not this person because they have a good eye. Let me ask you, how's your eyesight? This is the first time I've been able to look at all of you in focus. You say, what are you talking about, Tim? You wear glasses. I say, yeah, they were reading glasses. I've been wearing reading glasses all this time. And so everybody's blurry, and I feel, well, I don't have to see your faces, I guess. But now I see you. Wow, I didn't know you were still going, coming to Greater Alton. But I had to go to the eye doctor. I went to the eye doctor, and they got me some glasses, and I'm wearing glasses now. I learned that I needed glasses, and I was just reminded of why eye health is still the number one concern of all the senses that we have. People are most concerned about, I don't want to lose my eyesight. I don't know what I would do if I lost my eyesight. We have members here that have lost their sight in one eye, and it's a scary thing to think, what would I do if I couldn't see? And so it's very important. Jesus talks about how important eyesight is, and I'm going to turn to Matthew 6 here. I want to read it in its context. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, and if you've got a Bible or a cell phone or somebody that you can ask them to show it to you, this is Matthew 6. Verses 19 through 24, and Jesus talks about this. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. And then he says this. He says this up here on the screens if you want to see the International Children's Bible. The eye is the light of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are evil, your whole body is full of darkness. And if the only light you have is really darkness, then you have the worst darkness. And then he says this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What's Jesus talking about here? Here's another translation up here on the screen in the contemporary English version. Your eyes are a window to your body. And when they're good, you have all the light you need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. And if the light inside you is dark, you surely are in the dark. And it's interesting to me that I find this illustration about having a good eye, that Jesus wants us to have this good eye, and it's sandwiched in between some other information here in his Sermon on the Mount. What's he talking about there? What's this idea of a good eye? Well, a lot of people say, well, it's a generous eye. It's a Jewish phrase that was used often that Jesus uses in his Sermon on the Mount, where Jews would talk about if you have a good eye, he's talking about a generous eye. Proverbs 20, verse 9, talks about the generous person benefits itself. Well, some translations, some Hebrew has when a generous, the good eye of a generous person benefits himself. But I noticed that in this, what I just read to you, it's more than generosity that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about this eye that he says you need to have a good eye so that you will store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's a priority that you need to see while you're here on earth. Don't get too attached to the things on earth. Don't get too crazy about what happens on earth, because there's something bigger happening. If the last 24 hours hasn't taught us that as a Christian, it gets a little topsy-turvy around here, doesn't it? I almost changed the lesson today to what do you do when all hell breaks loose? Because that's what we witnessed just yesterday. It was incredible. But there's an eye. If I have a good eye, there's something much more going on than someone shooting somebody. There's something bigger going on. If anything, it's confirming to me that the world is a dark place and there's evil. And yet there's a God. There's a God that we can turn to and we can find some peace. But I notice here Jesus, when he's talking here, he's talking about this eye. He's talking about plans. Don't store treasures. Change your plans, Tim. He's talking about priorities. Don't get so attached to the earthly things. He's talking about lordship. You've got two masters, Tim. There's one or the other. And if you have a good eye, you'll recognize who you should serve. Even with others, being generous, having this generous eye, because that word good is related to this generous eye, is looking at others. He's talking about how we use our blessings to help others. And there's this eternal eye, or this eye that can see eternity. What's he talking about? Is he talking about these eyes? Is he talking about my peepers? No, he's not talking about these eyes. He's talking about these eyes. This eye in my heart. This eye in my soul. And like a window to the inside of my house, the eyes take in whatever gets its attention and it comes in deep inside me. It's a pathway. It gives me this eye of the mind, this eye of the heart, gives me what's called insight. Insight. Seeing things that they're not so obvious. Like Paul would tell the church in Corinth, fix your eyes not what is seen, but what is unseen. Why? Because the seen things are temporary, but the unseen, they're eternal. The good thing about darkness, it's temporary. One day we won't have darkness. And Revelation talks about that the kingdom of God, the city, is lit. It never has darkness. It is lit by the Lamb. Check it out. Revelation 22, I believe. And so this eye, like a window, it's a pathway that leads deep inside me, letting all this stuff in. And what's it do? Well, it's health, it's clarity. This spiritual eye forms my thoughts. It gives me ideas and information that eventually form my thoughts. They begin to form my values. It helps with my perception of things and my perspective. It helps me focus better. This eye, this spiritual eye, when it's good, I'm able to form better values, motives, choices. Even discipleship, following Jesus, is determined by this spiritual eye. Everything from my view of God, of myself, of how I see other people, how I look at them and what do I notice about them, all can have be affected, is affected by this spiritual eye of the heart. Even how I see my problems and habits, purpose, and this spiritual eye, when it's good, can see further than any physical eye. It goes all the way into eternity. Kind of makes sense now why Paul would pray for the Christians in Ephesus when he says these words in Ephesians 1. He goes, I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened. What's he mean? Flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. So that you will know and cherish the hope, that divine guarantee, that confident expectation to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, what he wants to give you and I, to the saints of the people. So this spiritual eye, just like my physical eye may be the number one sense that most people are concerned about, this spiritual eye I really want to be concerned about. I want to have good spiritual eyes. And that's why I want to do this series. I want us to start looking at what did God see when he sees things? What does he notice? And what does he want us, what does he want to reveal to us? Because as servants, if this year is about give me the heart of a servant, well, the heart of a servant starts with the eyes of the servant. This spiritual eye that leads to my heart. And how do I develop this servant's eye? Oh, I've got to start looking through the eyes of God. What does God say? This ought to get your attention. You want this to get your attention. So how do I develop a spiritual eye during this series? Well, here, let's go through them. Number one, I ask God to help me see. One of the things about God is he wants people to see. He wants people to see. And having a good spiritual eye can be pretty challenging. Again, it's not just the last 24 hours, but there's a lot of times, don't you scratch your head going, I just don't know what's going to happen. I just don't see what's the future going to look like. Or I don't know what to do in this certain situation right now that I'm, this problem I'm facing, this person that I'm living with or working with. How I see myself, I'm so excited. Yesterday, the Little Prairie Bible Camp board got together again, and I listened to board member after board. There's about 10 of us just talking about how this year's theme about having this true identity, how do I see myself and where do I get this identity? Where's the identity that I get? Where's its source? Is it going to be my friends, my culture, the trends, my pain, my past, what people think of me, what I think? Or is God going to be the definition? Is he going to define who I really am? And I've listened Combo Week, which is teenage to primary week and junior high. I listened to the directors all say, man, Tim, this has been an incredible, incredible thought to have. And senior week, I'm going to tell you guys, you got two incredible young men that are leading this senior week. And man, you go down there, you eat it up. Get all you can out of this because it's a defining moment in your life. It was in my life when I went to church camp as a teenager. And I remember putting on glasses in our first class. They gave us little pipe cleaners. Make something that you want to, that would describe what you're wanting to do this week at camp. And people had little graphic charts. I want my knowledge of God and my faith to grow. I made spectacles. I said, I want to see God like I've never seen him before. I want to see the will of God like I've never seen it before. And man, did God show me some things. So I'm excited. If you're sending your kid to camp and senior week, praise God that you've got the courage to do that. Stay out of their business. Leave them alone. Don't be calling them. Don't be bugging them. Let them focus on the Lord. They'll be back better because of it. That's my commercial. So I ask God to help me see. See, and if I'm having a difficult time, all I got to do is ask him. Look at the Bible says there on the screen. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. And it's true. One time Jesus met a blind guy and he says, what do you want me to do? And what's he say? I want to see. And what's Jesus say? Sorry. No, he lets him see. And if you want to see your spiritual eye to be open and focused and healthy and good, just ask God, help me. Help me see the truth about me, about you, about everything around me. Help me see the bigger picture and not just be so focused on my little bitty world, but change my worldview. And he'll do it. And look at these passages. Let me encourage you with the word here. Open my eyes, David says, to see wonderful things in your word. These are all prayers. Turn my eyes away from things that are worthless. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. I love this last one. Send me your light. Just send it. I need some light. I don't know about you. I'm getting older. By the way, if you want to know something about my younger brother, he's got some crazy mental problem. He has thousands and thousands of flashlights. I bet he's carrying one now. I'm a tape measure man myself. I can't go by without tape measures and buy a tape measure. Somebody gives me a tape measure, thank you very much. I've got hundreds of tape measures. I love them. There's always a better one coming out. But not Danny. Have you seen what old lights come out with? Look at this new light. Look at this light. Look at this one. It'll burn holes in walls. That's amazing. You know. And as I've gotten older, I've noticed I need more light. As I've gotten older in the faith, I'm needing more light. And I took this one real personal. I said, oh God, send me light. Because you never want your spiritual eye to grow dark. Because when it does, everything inside changes. Everything gets dark. You become pessimistic, cynical, negative, all that stuff. No hope. But oh, when you let the light of God come in, it lights up the whole place with truth. Lights up the whole place with hope. It's worth asking God for. And it's a prayer he will never say no to. You get serious about asking God to give you some light, guess what? He's going to show it. Because he is light. There's no darkness in him at all. He has nothing to do with it. He'll answer that prayer. Number two, I submit to take God's eye exam. I just agree to take the exam. I told you I got some glasses a few weeks ago. And these are, they're now I've got, you know, the regular, I can see far away better. And I've got the reading now. I don't have to do this anymore, back and forth. And it's kind of nice, I got to admit. But, you know, they had on the thing, I'm filling it out, the piece of paper as they're making me wait. And it says, when was your last eye examination? And I knew that 1997. You ain't heard the rest of it. 1997. Is that bad? It's bad! What are you doing? Well, how come you waited so long? I didn't think I needed a checkup. Till I was backing into trees. I went through three bumpers in my truck. I think that ought to be a heads up. Tim, thinking I see somebody in the yard and it's a bush. Time to start looking at the eyes, Tim. So I go in and the doctor, the last time I was at Rose Optical, to give you a perspective, the only person left at Rose Optical since my last visit was one guy. And he walks in and he goes, did I get this right? It says here 1997. Yeah, I go, what's wrong with you? I go, I didn't think I needed it. I know somebody that lost their eyesight in one eye because they kept putting it off. And if they would have come to me a little sooner, I think I could have saved their eye. So you're telling me I should be, how often do you think I should go? How about every year? So you think an annual? Put it in your phone right now. I got it in my phone. Now he says, so what do I do? Well, things haven't changed much since 1997, Tim. The technology's got a little bit better. Sit right there. Now look into this. And they're doing all the lenses. How's that? Oh, it's okay. Ooh. And then just like in 97, when I remembered, everything got focused and I got emotional. What's wrong with me? I'm going, gosh, I can see. E-L-O-P. You're doing good, Tim. I get my glasses and I go outside and the leaves are in high def. The leaves, I can see the leaves. The clouds look, there isn't two lights at night. There's one. Oh, I thought there were two cars coming at me. See the difference? And all I did was go to the eye doctor. Let me tell you, the great physician understands eye health, the spiritual eye, better than anyone. And he can help you see clearly if you'll periodically just submit to his eye exam. Look at this. I love this. Examine me, O Lord, it says in Psalms 26. David says, look closely into my heart. How does he look closely into his heart? He has to go through his eye. He has to go through that spiritual eye to get to the heart. Because we know that's the path. And he says, examine me, Lord. Look at me. Look else he says. Examine me and know my heart. Test me. See if there's any bad thing in me. You see, God wants me to see, but I have to go to him to learn how to see. And he provides extra eyes in my life through his Holy Spirit and through his holy people. Anybody helping you see? Anybody watching your back? Does anybody point out, oh, you're not seeing that right? Or you're not, I don't know if I'd see it that way. Or they're going to point out, there's something in your eye. Something's blocking your view. See, that's the third thing I have to do if I really want to have a good spiritual eye. And that's remove what blocks my view. I can't help but I'm thinking about my cousin Vinny. Remember that? When he said, what's that over there? There are bushes. That's right. Shout it out. And what do you notice there in that photo? That's dirt. That's right. That's right. And you're telling me you could see the person through? Maybe not. There's times I need to remove. There's things that get in my way, my spiritual eye, just like they do in my physical eye. Just like a window, when it gets blocked or dirty, I don't know about you, but when I clean my windshield, my engine seems to run better. Denise, the spring cleaning, you know, she'll be starting on the windows in the house. And when she gets done, it's so much brighter in the house. Is that coincidental or is that just me? No, the windows are clean. They get dirty. They get blocked. A tree. Something, when something blocks the windows, it gets a little darker in the house. And the spiritual eye is much the same way. When it gets clouded, when the eye gets bad, things get dark. You know, I was thinking about this. In this Sermon on the Mount, doesn't Jesus talk about the guy with the plank and the guy with the speck? They both got something in their eye. And it occurred to me, both need stuff removed in their eye. And it's usually not the big stuff that's blinding me, although I've had times when some big things have blinded my spiritual eye. Tradition, pride. But sometimes most of the time it's little things. The little things. I remember one time getting a little sawdust in my eye and I couldn't see. I'm grinding something, some steel, and I got a little steel, piece of steel, little bird just in my eye, and they had to drill it out with a drill. There's nothing weirder than a guy coming at you with a little drill and you can't look away. Yeah. Hold still. Like I'm gonna, of course not. Even a little irritation, little thing can block my view. And I just noticed both of them. So whether you got a little bit or a lot, you want to remove it because it brings a little darkness or a lot of darkness in your life. Look at the Psalms on 119 again. It says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Sounds like earthly things. It says, don't put anything wicked in front of my eyes. You have anything blocking your spiritual eye? You ever thought about that? Only you can remove it. You've got to remove it. With God's help, you can. Well, what kind of things? Earthly things? In the context of Matthew 6, is it money, possessions, treasures on this earth? It can be a person, a favorite person, a favorite thing you do, a hobby. It can be a blessing that God's blessed you on this earth, and it can sometimes distort and block your spiritual eye. Or it could be other things like anger. This is what I notice about me. Anger can blocks my view sometimes. Jealousy and bitterness. An unresolved conflict. These all shade cover the spiritual eye in some way. Maybe some past pain, because I'm looking back, it's hard for light to get in. I'm worried, self-righteousness, pride, all of these, greed, all of these will block my spiritual eye. And I must, listen, you and I, we must have the courage and the faith to address that. To address it. So you can see clearly. Number four, I focus on what God reveals. If I want to improve my spiritual sight, I focus on what God reveals. I was looking at this morning, and I've got it holding my hand here. I didn't know there were eye exercises. How could there be eye exercises? I don't think of my eye as a muscle in that sense. You know, what are they, dumbbells? How do you do eye exercise? Look to the right, look to the left. And here's several here. The 20-20-20 rule. Here's what they recommend. This is from MD, right off the line. When you're focused on a task, pause 20 minutes to focus on something that's 20 feet away for 20 seconds. Here's the blink break. You blink less when you're focused on TV or computer screens. Hello. If you start to notice dry eyes or the beginnings of a headache, stop and try to blink at a normal rate. Palms for relaxation. Here's another one. Gently cup your palms over your closed eye until all the after images fade to black after 30 seconds. Make sure not to put any pressure on your eyes. Sure. Figure eight. Imagine a big number eight turned on its side about 10 feet in front of you. Slowly sketch it with your eyes several times, then go the other direction. Here's a handy one for all you wives. Roll your eyes. You're already doing that exercise. Just reading it. Look right and left several times without moving your head. Then look up and down several times. And then near and far. This is good for people who wear glasses. Take them off and hold your thumbs in the air. One near your face and one further away. For 2 seconds each, focus on the near thumb, then the far one. Something across the room, then something even further away, like across the street. And these are eye exercises that help you have better vision. I wonder if we can learn anything about that when it comes to our spiritual eye. Of course we can. Hebrews 12:1 says this. Here's a good exercise up on the screen. Stay focused on Jesus. Make your focal point Jesus Christ. And here in 2 Peter 1, this is a familiar passage to many of us. It says, so we have seen and proved that what the prophets said came true. You'll do well to pay close attention to everything they have written. For like light shining into a dark corners, their words help us understand many things that otherwise would be dark and difficult. But when you consider the wonderful truth of the prophets' words, then the light will dawn in your souls and Christ the morning star will shine in your hearts. I need to give my attention to what God reveals, what God is saying. In this case, you know, we're talking about what's God revealing in His Word, but also what God reveals in our world. To be able to look through that spiritual eye like Jesus Christ looks through like His eyes, like He looks at the world. You see, here's what's important. Don't miss this today. What gets my attention gets me. Let me say it again. What gets my attention gets me. And there's a lot of things trying to get me. Would you agree? I can't believe, it's not just the last 24-hour cycle. I was on vacation, folks, and I decided to see how much YouTube shorts I could watch in 4 days. Grandpa, we want to play Uno. Hold on. I'm burning I got to the point where I've seen this one. Maybe I've seen all the YouTube shorts in the world! It's possible! No, I just had to get off YouTube and get right back on. More crazy, stupid stuff. Like those two guys, construction workers. And you see something stupid. I see it all the time. But there's a lot of things trying to get my attention. I call it mental bling. Oh, whoa! It's sensationalism, breaking news. It's always breaking news. Have you noticed that? And you think, and you're waiting and waiting. That's it? That's all you're going to tell me? But that's how they get, that's the hook. That's how they get us. The sensational, the trendy. And what do? It distracts me and starts to darken me. Darken this spiritual condition in my heart. We were fishing. Usually when a grandpa goes fishing with grandkids, he's not fishing, he's fixing everything. Grandpa, I got a lure in a tree. Let me fix it. Grandpa, the hook's gone. Let me fix it. But actually, the grandkids are getting older. I was getting fish. Me and Meyer out there fishing. This man is an angler. And we're trying to, and all of a, and I'm using hula popper, jitterbug. I'm using all the big lures of my lunkers. I gave him two lunker lures. And he decides to, I'm going to try this worm. And it's a plastic worm. And he throws it out there. And I'm like, knock yourself out. You know, at least I'm not fixing something. All of a sudden, and I look, and there's a big flash, and you got a fish, you got a bass, and it's a nice one, like a 2-pounder. He goes, I got a fish? Oh, don't do that, you're rubbing it in now. And he, you know what I did? I went and got a worm. Why? Because the bass see the worm, they didn't see the hook. What gets my attention sometimes, I fail to see the hook. I gotta be careful. Cause what gets my attention will get me. And you only have so much attention. I know some of us here are Geminis, we think, oh, I can do two things at one time. No, you can't. No, you can't. You think you can. That's the problem. I'm a Gemini. So I know that. That's a lie. But this idea, what gets my attention is gonna eventually get me. Psalms 119, David says, I have more insight. Ooh, insight. There's that word insight. Circle that. Insight. He's not talking about I got better vision with these peepers. No, he said, I have more insight than all my teachers. Why? For I meditate on your statutes. Oh, you're reading your Bible. No, I'm not reading it, Tim. I'm thinking about it. Well, you're supposed to read your Bible every day. Well, David goes, well, that's nice. Are you thinking about it at all? Think about it. Meditate on it. Let it run through your mind. Let it filter through all your fears. Let it go through all your worries. Let it meander around. And next thing you know, you got a big one online. What is it? My worry just went out the door. Because what I focus on gets me. Like I said, all the videos I watched, after all the videos, after all the TikToks, after all the breaking news, I found myself coming home from vacation. And by the way, I was reading some books too. Well, it may be fair here, but I came home, I'm going, what's wrong with me? I just don't feel relaxed, don't feel right, don't feel centered up. What is it? And I look over and there's my daily Bible sitting there going, and I go, it can't be this simple. I says this to myself, it can't be this simple. I open up my Bible and it's Isaiah 40. That God renews the strength of those like wings of eagles. And I just went, like, all of a sudden, like seeing something clearly for the first time through the eye examiner's scope, and this peace went over me. It was the same emotional moment going, oh God, your word's good. And I just dwelled on it and thought about it. Turned my TV off, turned my phone off, and just meditated and meditated and meditated. Look at this, says here in Psalms 119. The opening up of your word gives light. Is it dark where you are? Is your Bible open? Are you opening it, your heart to it? By the way, that idea of the word good, good heart, is another word is sound. And one translation or paraphrase says, when you open your heart to God's light, then it's full of light. And I know sometimes I just need to set everything down and just open up the Word of God and let it fill me because it's full of light. Here's the last thing. I learned to look through God's eyes. You know, I remember, I've got to be honest with you. How many of you here wearing glasses? You wear glasses. Okay, raise that. Yeah, okay, I can see you. Oh, wow. When I was a kid, we had kids that wore glasses, and I don't know if they even use this term anymore, but we would go, four eyes, four eyes. You know, I noticed those kids that had four eyes could still see pretty good. Okay, they could see good. And they didn't miss my nose sometimes, if you know what I'm saying. Four eyes, four eyes. We use it as an insult. I tell you, as a spiritual eye, I need. It's not an insult. Four eyes. I'm looking through these glasses, and it's like I say, for the first time in front of you, I can see you all very clearly. And read my notes and my scripture clearly. It's so cool. But I have to have an extra set. I have to look through these in order for that to happen now. And it's by looking at these glasses, now I can see more clearly. And to improve my spiritual eye, I've got to look through some glasses, some eyes, God's eyes. One time Jesus is at the temple court. He's with his disciples, his buddies, and they're watching people putting in their offerings. At the temple, they had these things. They looked like giant trumpet, brass trumpets, like funnels, and they had several of them, and people would come in, and they would start throwing their money inside. And, of course, the rich, when they did it, clangity, bangity, clangity, and everybody knew, wow, they gave a bunch. And then all of a sudden this widow comes up and she's got two copper coins. And the copper coins that she's talking about are so paper thin, they're like a couple of pennies. It's hardly anything. And you can just imagine as she drops them, ding, 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 ding. Not that spectacular. And the Bible, this is what the Bible says. Jesus sat near the temple money box and watched the people put in their money. Many rich people gave large sums of money. Then a poor widow came in and put two small copper coins, which were only worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to him. Just guys, come here. Come here. What? Come here. I want you to see something. I want you to see. Jesus has strategically got himself across the hall or wherever it is. He's watching this. And the disciples are seeing the same thing. Ooh. He goes, no. Come here. Come here. Come here. You got to see this. I want you to see things through from my perspective. I want you to see my view of things. Yeah, I tell you the truth, this poor widow gave more than I never noticed all the rich people. Not just this rich person, all of them. They gave only what they did not need. This woman's very poor, but she gave all she had. She gave all she had to live on. I can just imagine, come here guys, I want you to see something. This woman just outgave everybody. And they're going, Lord, are we looking at the same thing? And the answer is, yes, we are. We're looking exactly at the same thing. But I want you to notice this. I want you to come and see it from my point of view. There's another time Jesus is walking around amongst people. And he stops the disciples and he says this to them. He says, you've heard the saying, 4 months more in the harvest. But I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ready for harvest. I don't see any fields. I just see people. You're not seeing it. You're not seeing it. I want you to see what's really going on here. There are people that are looking for Jesus Christ. Right now, there are people looking for Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, are you looking for them? Do you see them? You've run into them this week. And you'll run into them this week. What will we do when we see them? Will we be looking through these eyes or will we look through this eye? It just amazes me, you know, and it makes sense because even a prophet named Samuel, a prophet now, he's a prophet. This guy knows his stuff, has to be reminded how to see things. In 1 Samuel 16, after he's seen all of David's brothers, he thinks he's got the right guy. He thinks that's the guy. God goes, no. The Lord does not look, is what the Lord says here. The Lord does not look at people in the way that people do. People look at the face and the body of a person. We look at height, weight, skin color, hair color, male, female, bling, you know, rich, poor. But the Lord sees what they're like on the inside. And he said, Samuel, come over here. I I want you to see David from this point of view. What do you notice? Oh my gosh, I'm anointing him as king. You see, when the Lord came to this earth, he did see something on the inside while everybody else saw on the outside. When he sees it, when the people see a tax collector and a sinner, Jesus sees a son of Abraham in Zacchaeus. Check it out in Luke 19. When people see a woman caught in adultery, they see sin. They see stones. Jesus sees a sinner and saves. They see all the people, even his disciples. This won't work. They see obstacles, not Jesus. He sees opportunity. People are asking, what can I get out of this? What am I going to get? And Jesus goes, I'm not even thinking about me. I'm thinking about what they need. Church, he got more than got shot in the ear. Because he cared about people over himself. So if you want to know what matters, if I want to know what matters, if I want to improve my perspective, do I want to understand, even improve my worldview to see the bigger picture of things, I've got to, in this series, I'm asking you to move closer to Jesus and begin to see things from his point of view. It's an eye-opener. In this series, I believe Jesus is saying, come here. Come here. I want you to see what I see about people, about sin, about suffering. I want you to see what purpose is about, what problems are about. I want you to even see yourself. That's what we're talking about next week. What does God see when he looks at me? Is the name of this lesson. What's God see when he looks at me? Wow. I'll tell you what, you might be surprised. He doesn't see what you see. He may see something else. So how are your eyes this morning? What are you noticing? Got some floaters? Kind of blocking, you know? Like, what's that? You know, is there something, some spiritual cataract going on or maybe you're distracted by something else so much that you don't see, it robs you of your hope. You don't see the hope that's there for you. What's shading your view, your spiritual eye? What's blocking your view? Are you focused on something else so much? You think it's letting something in. It's letting in darkness, more confusion, more blindness. Once you know God wants you to see, ask him. He'll begin to help you. Remove the things. Address those things in this series. And let's look through the eyes of God and see if what happens to our spiritual eye. Maybe we'll develop this good eye that he wants us to have. If you have a card in your bulletin, I believe, and if you've got something you want to say, a prayer request or a thought, maybe a decision you want to make, we want you to know that there's people that pray over these cards and they talk to God about it while you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with. Take advantage of this pipeline to heaven that we have here at Greater Alton through our prayer team. But may God help us. God bless us to be able to see and develop this good eye. We're going to pray and give you time to fill out those cards and then we'll close our service. Father, thank you so much for the light that you provide. I think about, Father, the very first thing you said, let there be light. And you've not changed your mind. You still want light. You want your light in our hearts, in our lives. And Father, we pray that you'll help us see better. Examine us, Father. Examine each of us. And help us focus to do the spiritual eye exercises that would help us have a clearer understanding of what you're about. And most of all, Father, as we go through this series, we pray we'll be challenged and changed by just simply looking through your eyes from your point of view. Father, our country needs healed. I pray, Father, that as your people, that we'll be healers, not hurters. That we'll find a way to use what's happening around us in a way to talk about your son Jesus and the peace that he brings that you can't find it anywhere else. Father, I pray for senior week at camp that these teenagers, Father, and staff, you will change them in a way that's never before. That they don't only come back different, but they come back stronger disciples. Father, we just ask you to open our eyes. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to
sacrifice to you.